We are glad that you are with us this morning on this really important day in the history of the world, actually. What I hope to do today is really simple. I want to help us get a sense of what Easter maybe is all about and how it can still make a difference in our lives today. I want to do this by exploring another passage of Scripture from 1 John 4. It is not in your bulletin. We produced the bulletins really early for Easter, and this kind of came to me after the bulletins were printed, to be honest with you. So just sit back and listen to this Scripture. It is really a beautiful and very insightful passage of Scripture. I'm going to be preaching quite a bit about the relationship between fear and love, so pay attention to that in this passage. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us, or as some translations say, is fully formed in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love, fully formed love, drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this beautiful passage of Scripture, for this chance to be together today to celebrate what you have done on our behalf. We pray that this message of love, of your love for us, will really come through clearly today. And I pray for anyone who might be really struggling with fear or anxiety in their lives, but for all of us, that this may be a word of encouragement, and may we see how your resurrection, your death, and your resurrection can make a difference in our lives today, 2,000 years later. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Do not be afraid. These are the first words that the angel spoke to the women as they came to the tomb to look for Jesus. And then shortly thereafter, Jesus met them, said the same words. Do not be afraid. I can definitely understand, can't you, why the women would be afraid? I mean, this person who they have given their lives to, who have they followed for the last 3 years, who they have placed their hope in and love, had just been arrested and killed this horrible death on the cross. You know, probably many things were going on in their lives. They were confused, they were lost, they didn't know what was happening next, but certainly they were also fearful for their own lives. But Jesus says to them, Do not be afraid. And later that same day, he found his disciples behind locked doors in a home, hiding, fearful, because they feared that the same authorities that had arrested Jesus and crucified him would also come for them. And Jesus said the same words to them. Do not be afraid. If you read through the gospel accounts, you'll know very quickly that Jesus said these words many, many times. In so many interactions with people, one of the first things he often said was some form of do not be afraid, fear not, have courage. Did you know that fear not, do not be afraid, is the most common command that God has given to humankind? Pretty much far and away the most common command in Scripture, in one form or another. Fear not. Do not be afraid. So, my guess is that if God places this command 366 times in the Bible, one for every day of the week, or the every day of the year. Thank you for helping me out with that. Every day of the year, plus one extra if you have a really scary day. My guess is if God gives us this command so often that it is important and that being fearful is not in God's will for our lives. Why does God want us to be courageous people? Why is it important that the level of fear in our lives is low? Because God wants the best for us. And we got to establish that right here at the beginning. God has the best for you. God wants us to live full lives. Jesus said, I have come that you might live, have life and have it abundantly. Live abundant lives, full of joy and hope and faith and love. And perhaps more than anything else, wouldn't you agree? It is fear that can limit us, that can prevent us from taking risks, can make our lives smaller, and really cause us not to enjoy life. And yet, we live in a fearful age. Wouldn't you agree? I don't think many of us would argue this point, that this time that we are living in right now is a tumultuous time. Tremendous change going on in our world, unlike any other period in the history of the world, primarily driven by technology and social and economic and cultural changes. Life is full of fear right now. You know, I just ordered, I'm a big Fareed Zakaria fan, and he has just written a book called The Age of Revolutions, and I ordered it because I want to read it. And he said in the interview that I watched that, wow, this is a time of tremendous upheaval, unlike any other time. It is a revolution unlike any others, and we have gone through a number of them. We are facing existential threats that no generation really has had to face before. We just lived through a pandemic, which I think we still have a hangover from, don't you think? A time when we, you know, the veil was pulled back a little bit, wasn't it? And we had one of those moments when we realized, wow, life is pretty precarious. And then on top of all of this, we have kind of the run-of-the-mill fears that we humans have experienced since the beginning of time, right? Fear of loneliness. Fear of growing older. Of losing our health. Fear of losing loved ones. Fear of failure. Fear of change. Fear of rejection. Fear of not being loved, fear of intimacy, Fear that I will never find the love that I really look for. Fear that our kids will grow up and never really manage life. Fear of losing our job or financial ruin. I could keep going, but I'm not going to, because I want to get to the good news. By the way, you know, some of us, I think today, are probably thinking, I don't really have a lot of fears in my life. You know, in preparation for this message, I read a book by a pastor in Kansas City, pastor of one of the largest churches in the United States. I think it's 10,000 people. And prior to writing this book, he took a survey of his congregation. And these are people in the Midwest, man. What do they have to worry about, right? 80% of this congregation, very much like ours, socioeconomically, 80% said they were experiencing moderate or significant fear in their lives. And this was before the pandemic, 2018. I know also that we have subconscious fears that we're not even aware of. You know, I'll confess this morning, this is confession. Every few months, I have this dream that I get up to preach and there is no manuscript, there's no notes, I am totally unprepared. And sometimes I'm not wearing pants. What's interesting about that is I have friends who have had the same dream. Kind of like those dreams we had in college, remember? If we went to college, where we came in to take a final and we realized I haven't been in class all semester for this. How many people have had that dream? See? I'm not the only insecure person here, fearful person. Fear of failure. Well, here's the good news that I want us to hear today, because Easter is about good news. God wants to drive fear from our hearts. And the primary way God does this, God's antidote for fear, is something very powerful. In fact, it is the most powerful force the world has ever known. Do you know what it is? It is God's love. And as we see from our passage from 1 John today, God's love drives out fear. Other translations say perfect love, which is God's love, casts out fear, or love defeats fear. And when we consider what Easter is all about, and if you've wandered, come back here for a second, because this is an important transition. What the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection is really all about is this. God loves us. And he just doesn't talk about it. God takes action. And he demonstrates to us in very concrete and real ways how much he does love us. Did you catch that truth as I read through 1 John? This is love. This is love. Not that we love God, but that God first loved us. It's the first love. And sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Now, that's pretty heavy theological language. So let me say how one person translates this. He says, this is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is the kind of love we're talking about. Not that once upon a time we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins. The places where we have missed the mark and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. Another verse, Romans 5:8, says something similar. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still lost, while we weren't paying attention to God, didn't have time for God in our lives, Christ died for us. Amazing verse. In other words, the story of Christ dying and rising from the dead is the greatest demonstration of love that the world has ever seen. And you know what? This is the message of Christianity. Not just the crucifixion and the resurrection, but from the very first page of the Bible all the way through, this is the message. That this God who is full of love, this God who is love, whose very character is love, is reaching out to humanity in all kinds of ways, through becoming, taking on flesh and becoming one of us at the incarnation, to the crucifixion, dying on the cross, to the resurrection. This is the message that God is trying to get across to us. That I love you, and I want you to know my love. Not just up here, but here. I want you to know and feel and experience this amazing love. It's this love, more than anything else, that can help us to lower the level of fear in our lives and to help us to know the peace that Christ wants to give us. You know, I was talking to one of our psychologists. We have a few psychologists in this congregation after the first service, and he said, "Oh man, I'm going to send that sermon to a lot of people." And I said, "Boy, that fear, it's all over the places." And he goes, "Oh, it's all over. Anxiety. Anti-anxiety drugs are just flying off the shelves." He said, "You know, what I've come to realize is it has to be something bigger than us that comes from the outside to help us get rid of fear. That we can't muster up this courage on our own." I said, "Amen, brother. It's got to be big." So what is this love like? Let me give just a few things. First of all, it is a love that is unlike any other love. And this is why it's so powerful. It is not, this is what's so important, it is not based on the beauty or the goodness or the behavior or the response of the person it loves. It is a love that, as the scripture says, loves us first. It is the first love before we could do anything to earn it or buy it or somehow behave in a way that makes us deserve it. God loves us. It's unconditional. It's constant. It's faithful. It never wavers. Wow, isn't this different from other loves that we have experienced? You know, when the New Testament writers tried to describe this love that Christ displayed on the cross, you know what? They took this little known Greek word called agape, hardly used, and they took it and they said, "This is that love, because it's so different from any other love, we want to give it a new word." Agape, unconditional. Just all the things I just said. Doesn't have any ifs. Oh man, how I would love to get this through to the teenagers of our day. You teenagers out there, listen to this. All of us listen to it. It's not based on ifs. Do you know what the ifs are? If you're smart enough, if you're pretty enough, if you're cool enough, you still use that word cool? If you don't fail, if you're skinny, got the right clothes. Wow, a lot of ifs. If you meet my needs, then I'll love you. Do you see how amazing this love is? And why it's revolutionary? If we can really get it, go from here to here. God's love doesn't have any ifs. It is simply, I love you. Period. Full stop. As I often say, and you've heard me say many times if you've been in this congregation, you can't do anything to make God love you more, and you can't do anything to make God love you less. We could go home right now, but I still, you know, I got to say the rest of this because I worked hard on it, so we're going to continue. You know, folks, we all have in our hearts this yearning for this kind of love. It's what we're made for. And we look for it in all different places. My Spotify played the song this week, Looking for Love in All the Wrong. Remember that song? Should I continue? No. There's a passage in the Bible in which Paul the Apostle is trying to communicate this love to a group of people, and he's struggling, and he takes three chapters to try to describe this to this church in Ephesus. Finally, he says, you know what? I get down on my knees, and I kneel before the Father, and I pray. I pray that you will be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. How wide and long and high is deep and deep. Friends, if we could somehow grasp this in all its fullness, move it from here to here, you know what? We couldn't sit still. And the level of fear in our lives would go down. Second thing that makes this love so powerful, it's a love that is dynamic. It's not a static thing. It's something that grows, that moves toward a goal. This is this word teleos, which is perfect. Very interesting. Krinks comes from the Greek word teleos, from which we get our word telescope. I think because it brings it close. It's kind of difficult to define, but it's used a lot in the New Testament. It means reaching your goal or fulfillment of a goal. It suggests growth or process. So it means in this situation that the love that drives out fear is a love that grows. And the more we know and experience this love, the less fear we will have in our lives because it can become fully formed and drive out fear. Maturity. Love and fear, as it says, cannot coexist. But it takes time to be formed. It takes a lifetime. And there are certain things that we can do to help it grow in us. You know, one of the things that happens to us as we experience and know this love is the fear will lessen and the more courage we will have in life, in the safety of God's love. You will feel more secure, more confident. You will feel the freedom to take risks, to sense God's power in your life. You will be at peace. You know, as we baptize these two young men today, this is one of my prayers for them. Oh, that they would know this love as they've been baptized, that they would know it to their core, their being, and know the security of knowing you're loved always, always. You know, one of the things you can do to know this love better is to be with a small group of people. For centuries, Christians have gathered in small groups to share life together, to love one another. You saw in this passage the vertical and the horizontal relationship of love. You know, we receive love from God. we love each other. As we love each other, we experience more of God's love. It's this dynamic that works. And I've been in this small group in our church for 2.5 years. At least the core of this group has been together for 2.5 years. And, you know, we're beginning to experience this love together. We're growing in love. I see these verses playing out. We're being formed in love. And we're an eclectic group. We would never be a group of friends if we hadn't been put together in this group by Don, who put the groups together. I mean, we had everybody from probably late 30s to approaching 90. She was told me after the service today, I'm glad you didn't say 90s because I'm not quite there yet. Some of us have been Christians all our lives. Others of us are newer to the faith. One person who's brand new has come back to the church and to faith after decades of being away. But there we are. So every week we get together. Isn't this radical? And have dinner with all the other small groups first, and then break up into our own small group, and we talk about the passage of scripture on which the sermon was based prior on that prior Sunday, talk about how it applies to our lives. We share our lives together. And we try to do what this passage says. Love one another in real ways, as God has loved us. And as I reflected on this passage this week, I thought about our small group and how it is experiencing what this passage talks about. We are growing in love, love for God and for each other. And I can see it. I can see it in people's lives. I can see the lights turn on. I can feel it in myself. And certainly the level of fear in our lives has decreased. A week or so ago, we were talking about reconnecting to God and growing in His love and the difference it makes in our lives. And we were kind of sharing, how has this made a difference? And one person said it so well. Well, I certainly sleep better at night. We are becoming more and more aware that we are not alone, that God is with us, and so are our brothers and sisters in Christ. God's love is being formed in us. The last thing I'll say about this love is it is so powerful that nothing can separate us from this love. Nothing. Paul writes this in the book of Romans, these great verses. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger of sword? No. In all these things, he writes, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that it is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Do you know what that means? It means we're never alone. And even did somebody, a little kid, say what? Thank you for that. I like when the congregation talks back to me. That's good. Even death, and this is Easter. Did you hear it? Even death cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Here it is, what we celebrate today. There is something after all this. There's life on the other side. Life here on earth is not all that there is, because Christ defeated death on the cross. His victory is our victory, and because of the resurrection, you know what? We do not have to fear the greatest fear that all of us have, and that is death. It's done. And here's some other really good news. We will know this great love that I've been talking about from this passage. We know it in part here on earth. But if there's one thing I can say with certainty about heaven, it is this, that in heaven, we will know this love in all its fullness. And remember, love drives out fear. So that means no fear, no pain. Every tear will be wiped away. Now, can I close with this? I've been a Christian for 50 plus years. Went to seminary, pretty rigorous academic work for 3 years. For a master's, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, I guess, to get my doctorate. Thought I was going to figure out God. Can I tell you, you can't figure out God? I have more questions now than I ever did. Lots of mystery, lots of things we can't know for sure, but I can say with confidence that God is love. And God loves us with an unceasing, unconditional love, extravagant, generous, over-the-top love. And more than anything else, God wants us to know, to experience, to feel this love that even drives out fear. But I will say this. You got to let God love you. At some point in your life, you got to start paying attention. If you're not, start doing some things that open up the sails of your life to the love of God. Amen. Let's pray together. God, we pray that we would take this message, that we would open our hearts up to you, that we would trust you with our hearts and allow you to love us in the way that you want to love us. And may this love transform us. Help us to not be fearful people, but to live confidently, that we are in your hands, that your love for us is constant, that there is nothing that we can do to separate us from that love, and that someday, after life here on earth, we will know that love in all its fullness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.